Good afternoon, everyone. Renee Cross, I'm the deputy director. Our director is en route, so hopefully he'll be here soon. Thanks for adjusting your schedules for this meeting today. I guess we're going to start with the roll call. It appears that we don't have a chair or a vice chair.
That's right.
So we're going to have to elect someone pro temp for today.
Judy has been.
Well, I'm a bold chair.
Point of it.
Well, yeah. Don't just talk about yourself.
You said that too fast.
Nobody else wants to jump in?
That sounded like a motion, Gary.
Yeah, I move to Judy as temporary chair. You second?
I second.
Three and Marcia.
But you get to decide if you want to be an own chair or just a chair.
A queen for day, a chair for day.
Second.
I'm going to say, what do I have to do?
For Judy to be the pro temp.
Okay, I can do this. Don't come up with.
Temporary crown.
All right. Let's say roll call.
Bruce Basham. Terry Brown.
Here.
Thomas Boynton. Julia DeVerso.
Here.
Greg Fagan. Marcia Hardney.
Here.
Glenn Harvey. Molly Stolman.
Here.
Myra Moon.
Here.
Andre Verona.
Here.
Dick Virgin.
Here.
Okay, we need a motion to, thank you, we need a motion to adopt the agenda for today. Can we have a motion?
Motion.
Andre, and a second. Terry, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We need a motion to approve the minutes of February 4th and the joint TAC-CAC meeting on April 1st. Could I have a motion? Or are there any comments?
There was a change in the minutes of February 4th, which I submitted before.
I'm sorry, February 1st.
Well, they're trivial. I just called you the vice chair.
And
you weren't the vice chair.
And the changes were made.
So those changes were made. And with those changes made, I move approval of the February 4th minutes.
Okay, noted.
Nothing personal, Judy, but.
Hey, that's true.
Take a second.
Motion by Myron and a second by Dick. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The chair has no comments. The executive director's report will wait for. Public comment. We have any members of the public here? Okay. We can discuss the action items, but we cannot vote on them until we have our well, I guess we can.
Did we approve the April 1st minutes separately?
No, I put them up together.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see, action items. We need a motion to recommend approval of the PIP process, and I'm going to assume we have a presentation.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, do you want the screen up, or?
No, there's nothing. We need the screen. Actually, that's actually the public involvement plan.
Okay.
The public involvement plan. Excuse me, Mom.
Hey.
Back in 2012, we did a major overhaul of the public involvement plan, and we did a very thorough job and researched all of the other plans from the larger MPOs around the state and elsewhere and so forth. So we're not attempting to redo that. We don't feel that's necessary at this time. Since then, we've done minor updates for the calendar listings of meetings and so forth. And so at this time, the 2015 updates are to make updates in addition to the calendar listings, things like MAP 21 that took the place of Safety Lou, and just things like that that have, you know, need to be reflected. We also took out the introductory language that in 2012 said, here's what we've been working on, here's our priorities and all, and just kind of took that out because it was obsolete and sort of replaced it with some general language about how we're transitioning from more printed documents, fewer printed documents, to more things being processed and distributed electronically, and just some of those types of things. The major substantial part of this and what is a policy change and therefore requiring it to come through the committees for approval and to the board is that we had put the burden upon ourselves in our public involvement plan that we would distribute not only for the major documents, but for all of the amendments. Every time there's a TIP amendment, as you know, those things have been frequent. If there's an LRTP amendment or UPWP amendment, that we would send printed copies to all 30 of the local libraries, all the municipal libraries and the Palm Beach County Library branches. And that becomes very burdensome. We're doing a lot of printing of things that we really don't think people are looking at much in printed form. And people who don't have access to a computer at home, if they're going to the library, our feeling is the libraries I've seen have a lot of computers, and librarians, they're more than happy to assist if you need help navigating to find a document. And when we're sending out things in printed form and draft, you don't really have the follow through to know, was it modified? Was it adopted? Was it not adopted? You know, that kind of thing. So trying to steer people going to the library to still access the information online with the assistance of the librarians, we think probably helps them as well as us. It's less paper for them to have to store and try to locate when someone comes in and says, hey, I saw in the newspaper where I can get this at the library. So hopefully they will be able to help just as easily, if not more so, for people who do rely on the library to find that information online. So it's, we will still continue to distribute major documents and all. And keep in mind, these requirements that we put in here are just requirements we put upon ourselves. And we can always, and we all typically do, go far and above what's in here. I don't think we've ever had requirements that specifically say what we actually advertise in the newspaper with paid advertising. We do that for the major documents. We do it for the amendments. The major things, we put display ads. They cost more, but they're located in the main section of the paper where the general audience is reading. They're not buried in the legal classifieds. The lesser things, yeah, we still use the legal classifieds for some of this. But what I'm saying is it doesn't restrain us from going over and above. For things where we really want and need the public's attention, we still can continue to do those things. And I think our major documents will continue to go in print form to the library. It's mostly just all these amendments that create a lot of paperwork, amendment number 3, and you don't know what that really means without a lot of research and all that. So we get, someone suggested the advisory committees that we may want to continue sending notices and just do it through email to the libraries that, you know, TIP amendment number whatever is going to be considered for adoption, and that's certainly, I think, a good compromise, something we can send by email and they know about it. And therefore, if someone comes in and asks, you know, but that's not something we necessarily have to, you know, modify the language in the PIP for. So those are the major changes. This is not an attempt to completely redo the document, just to update it to reflect the work that we're actually doing and those changes, whereas more and more of us are moving to get our information electronically, even in the libraries. Does anyone have any questions?
Well, Deborah, you explained that my question was going to be, how are you going to notice that you're still going to do public notices in the paper so that people are aware that you're, that these things are available somewhere?
Right, and I don't think we actually require publication in the newspaper
because
in our PIP, but we'll continue those kinds of practices.
You're not under state rules, you're federal rules, right?
Yeah.
But the other question I have was, in the libraries, are they going to have any kind of notice about the information so that if someone walking in there can look up the link or...
Yeah, that's what someone was suggesting, that maybe we just email them, you know, the public notice that we typically send in print form, that we send it by email, that they know that that document's available on our website.
Yeah.
And that's something we're happy to do, and I think it's very easy and a good compromise. So I don't know that necessarily needs to be stated in here that we're going to do that, but I think that's definitely a very manageable compromise.
Yeah.
Because we typically do go over and above. These are just the bare minimum requirements that we put on ourselves.
Any other questions?
Yeah, the question I have about that process is that unless someone is already looking for it and is aware that this process exists, sending it to a librarian, it's still limited to that one librarian's computer. Because then they're not really obligated to publish it or print it or otherwise make it available. I mean, so
well, they're never obligated. Even if we send it to them in the mail and they get a packet. We ask them in a nice cover letter, please post this. We typically send a public notice in English and also in Spanish, ask them to post both, that basically state that this amendment or whatever is going to be addressed at the MPO board on such and such a date, and here's where they can get more additional information. And currently, we are printing those corresponding documents. So if that's 5 pages, including some financial pages from the TIP and a letter from DOT or whatever we have that explains what that project, what that amendment may be.
And so the information goes to the cities as well?
It typically goes to, this is going in printed form to the library. So that's the requirement that we're changing in this document. This document currently does not have any specific request or distribution list. But again, we are moving more toward doing things to a wider audience and electronically as much as possible.
Well, I guess in addition to the libraries, is there any consideration to send it to each municipality who then can distribute it to their publics?
We certainly can. We haven't typically done that in any form, print or electronic, for the amendments and things of that type, but we certainly can.
This sort of ties in. Has there ever been any conversation or thought to sending out to your local chambers? It's the first time that I'm a representative of the Chamber of Commerce. But if you did it to, they would probably send it out to their database or post it on their website.
I think so.
Yeah.
Sure.
We certainly would.
Yeah. We're in the process of building a more comprehensive list that we send everything, not just notices of TIP amendments and all, which is what we're talking about specifically here. But yes, our goal is to do a wider dissemination of information on everything that we do.
Well, I would offer our chamber, the Hispanic Chamber, to be, you know, the first of that at whatever point you're ready to do that. And if you need introductions or contact information for any of the other chambers,
sure.
I have that as well. So.
Well, getting back to Mark's comment, most of the municipalities, even the little cow town that I live in, has a web page. And people go and look at it, and it has various public information that's unrelated to the town posted. So I mean, you could just put a little blurb on the bottom of their webpage.
Right.
If they would do that for us,
that would be terrific.
Oh, yeah.
And aside from that, please encourage your towns to have a link just to the MPO website, because we would always encourage people to, you know, find our website, know who we are, what we're doing, you know, regardless of comments for a specific amendment on a document or something, just in general. So if you can encourage them to have offer a link to the Palm Beach MPO and maybe a sentence about who we are, what we do, and I'd be very happy to work with any town administrator or website administrator, someone who might want help with a little blurb of language about that. We would really welcome that.
I think that's it. I like that idea.
Most people find us.
I hope people would welcome something like that.
Okay, good.
Help create a connection to the rest of the county.
Myra, did you have a question?
Well, it's a comment, really. I looked on page 51, which is the section on measurement of effectiveness, feedback, and evaluation, and I find that it's one sentence, and it says there'll be an annual summary of the activities used. This does not suggest to me an evaluation of effectiveness. I don't know how you measure effectiveness of getting public response or public input or whatnot, but it seems pretty weak. And it sort of suggests to me that, well, you know, it's a plan, and we do all these activities, but we don't really care what the public input is.
Well,
that's
certainly not an accurate.
Well, but there's no feedback. There's no feedback to the public as to what their comment, how their engagement is. There's no evaluation of the response of the MPO to the comments.
We are trying to be flexible, but what we've done is the intent has been the back portion of that document includes a chart with a lot of columns, and basically what is the general strategy, the category of the strategy, how can we measure that and so forth. And then the idea is to then say, what progress have we made, or is this no longer an effective strategy that has been replaced, that type of thing.
Well, let me ask a question. This annual summary, what happens to the annual summary? Does anybody review it, or does anybody critique it? Does anybody look at it and say, well, we need to do better? Or is it just filed someplace?
That is something we can use a lot of improvement. We've been lax, frankly. I've been busy doing things more so than documenting and reporting this.
I don't doubt goodwill and good intent. It's just that as far as the plan is concerned, it's sort of empty in terms of evaluation of the effectiveness of the program, feedback to the citizens or the community as to the response. Provide the opportunity for people to make oral comments. Oral comments are difficult to categorize, but written comments as well. If people take the time to write a letter about something, what happens to that? Do they get feedback? Is there an evaluation of the kinds of comments that citizens make, so that there's some thoughtfulness about the comments that people are making, whether they're making them about the lack of influence or the fact or one thing, whatever it happens to be. The reason for getting citizen involvement is not just to satisfy a federal requirement. It's to make the process better, to make the decision making better, make it more responsive to the citizenship. If citizens have legitimate interests and concerns. So it just seems to me, I mean, I'm not going to object to anything. It just seemed to me that reading that one sentence. Look, we're a citizens advisory committee.
That's right.
Crying out loud.
That is a good point.
So, Marvin, you'd like to see some kind of interactive forum?
I'd like to see some thought about how you measure the effectiveness, how you evaluate the effectiveness, and the extent to which there can be feedback. Because the section says measurement of effectiveness, feedback, and evaluation, and there's nothing
there. You could do that online thing where you mark a box and send it back to you.
The change to this section being since the previous one that was adopted was also a 45-day time was, I believe it said that we would be doing that annually and that we would be posting it online and so forth. And frankly, that was falling behind. It wasn't getting posted and so forth. We have just been catching up quite a bit because, as you may know, for the past 2 days, we've been reporting on what we've done collectively for the past 4 years to our federal and state certification teams. And I think I can say with all confidence that they were very, very happy and impressed. It's the documentation of that and posting it and all that we were falling short of. So we took that language off there. We're also in the process of updating our website, and hopefully we'll have more opportunities for things to be there. But the measures of effectiveness are actually document in this document that has not changed. We may have changed a couple of little lines of text, but for the most part, that's unchanged from 2012 when we had the major review of it. And we are in a 45-day public comment period now for this. We didn't attempt to go back and rewrite all of those measures of effectiveness. And as a matter of fact, the federal certification team has kind of backed off some from the way they used to want more defined numbers and measures and so forth, and they realize that sometimes you can be working hard trying to check boxes to satisfy agencies that may not necessarily be an asset to the way we perform public involvement. So they're, I think, becoming much more flexible in the way we measure ourselves and how we perform, and giving us flexibility to adapt.
Question, you said we're in the middle of the 45 days, so that ends June?
The 21st of May, the day of the board meeting. Yeah, anytime we have a public document, if it says 30-day or 14-day or whatever public comment period, that's always in advance of the board meeting. And so we're going to be making a few changes based on, for instance, Renee suggested that we take the calendars from the committees. At this point, they're in each committee section. We just make that an appendix, But we do have to have those specific calendars in there, although we have a lot of caveats that subject to change. As you know, we occasionally, as this week, have had to change the dates of meetings. So we do try to encourage people to double check our website for any changes that may have occurred. But because we can't definitively say the first Wednesday of every month on any committee, therefore we do need to be a lot more specific. But we're going to put that in the appendix as opposed to within each of the chapters. So it's just a reorganization, it's not a change in format.
Okay. Yes.
So Madam Chair Pro Tem, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I really appreciate your willingness to serve this afternoon. So, you know, first of all, let me apologize for my tardiness.
She had no choice.
and second of all, let me just say thank you to the whole group for your attendance this afternoon. We really appreciate your flexibility in accommodating our scheduling change. To Myron's question, what I've done is gone back a couple of pages earlier from page 51 and showed you a component of the table of the public involvement plan that talks about measuring the number of hits that we receive on our website. Yeah, we'll flip those around so you can see
the light.
You know what? Just flip the switch on the left side. That the outside one should keep enough light in the room that we don't feel like we're I wanted to highlight this and say while there is change happening at the federal level, one of the things that came up in our certification and that we are committed to doing as we go forward was refining our measures of effectiveness to be measurable and tracked so that we can report something of value to the committees and to our board on an annual basis. So where it says website analytics of webpage hits, currently we haven't tracked that. We haven't provided a report to anyone saying this is how many times the public comes and hits our website, this is which pages they visit. We have access to that information, but we're not logging it aggressively. And this is just one example. But what we're committed to doing is reviewing the contents of the document and bringing another set of changes to you next year that demonstrate how we're going to monitor our effectiveness with measurable attributes and then report on those on an annual basis.
Okay. And I'd just like to suggest that you think about the word feedback.
Okay.
Because it's easy to count web hits, and it's easy to count the number of written comments you get at a meeting, but the question is there any interaction? Is there any involvement? It's just, and so feedback is, I think, the important thing from my perspective, anyway.
Great.
From my perspective, the more concise and the more precise the request for feedback is, the more I am likely to check a box. Was this helpful or not helpful? Does it lead you easily to other areas that you're interested? The most, just a few questions and I'm done. Because if it gets too complicated, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no. So, anyone else? Comments?
Yes,
ma'am.
Still have two more. On page 34, it talks about the Unified Planning Work Program. I'm just trying to figure out where we are in the cycle. It says it's done every other year.
Right.
So it'll be this is the year.
We're 1 year in. We have one more year until we start a new one. Every 2 years.
So if, say, the public wanted to have some input into what happens for the next time, is there a way to have a forum with people, a lot of people there? Or even if they're not live in the same place, maybe remotely even, to make a presentation and to answer questions. For example, last year, Nick, you came out to Melbourne and you met with the community, and it was very, very well received. It was informative, and it was the first time, to my knowledge, in a good while, that number of citizens actually became aware of what the process is. And I think that we just need to increase that to greater numbers and younger ages of people.
We'll do the presentation. You help get the people out.
I will be happy to do that.
Please invite us back. To speak directly to your question about the UPWP, like every document, whether it be the TIF, the LRTP, the UPWP, any of those, there's a formal review process, and that means that at a minimum, we're advertising it on our website, first of all, and also generally in the media and so forth. We're sending news releases, but also for those major documents, we're putting display ads in the local section of the newspaper. Every time we do an ad in the Palm Beach Post, we're also doing an ad in a free weekly Spanish newspaper, El Latino Seminole.
Okay.
So we're getting promotion that way, but that's for the formal comment period. And also, whenever we have a document that's out for review, we have an online comment form. So if you're looking at it online, you don't even have to write down an email address and go send us an email. It's right there. You click on it right there, and when you send a comment, it comes directly to me and another person, so we can track those comments, and then your comments become part of the public record for that document, for that draft. And then, of course, the series of the committee meetings that all of those documents come through, such as this one, are publicized and promoted widely, and then ultimately to be adopted or proposed for adoption at the MDO board meetings.
Okay.
So that's handled in the same manner as all the other documents.
So does that need to be stated here? Like you said, you come out anytime, but is that somewhere already?
It says in there that we advertise on our website and so forth.
No, but did you come out upon request? Is that in here too?
It probably doesn't say that, but
I know you will.
If we ever said no, there would need to be a very good reason. We welcome those opportunities.
But it doesn't have to be in here. It's really good.
I mean, we're not going to make a commitment that no matter who and where, you know, I mean, it's got to be reasonable.
Yeah.
We welcome those opportunities. I don't think that means, this is for minimum requirements, and we already, in practice, exceed the minimum requirements.
Right.
This is just one little thing that has become very burdensome for staff. It's using a lot of paper. We feel that it's burdensome for the librarians and for them to keep up with all this extra paper, and when do they know that it should be thrown away, it's superseded or whatever. And we feel like the same purpose can be served with them assisting their residents who come in. They may still see the ad in the newspaper saying available, whatever, online, but then they know if they don't have a computer at home that they could go to the library and look that up with assistance. So yeah, we're just changing the bare minimum, but we're always expecting and already in practice exceeding our minimums, and please schedule another event for us to come back out this year and help us get an even bigger audience, because we do welcome those opportunities.
Thank you.
Good, we appreciate it. Yeah, for those who don't know what Marcia's referring to, last June, I think it was, she assembled sort of a town hall type of event for us to come out there and speak to people from the Blades, and we had a pretty fair number of residents out there. We helped develop a flyer based on the information they gave us. She and others out there distributed that flyer and got a pretty good turnout. And some of those people did not previously engage with the MPO, so they became aware of who we are, what we were doing. And of course, we were in the process of our LRTP last year, so that made it even more beneficial for us to have an opportunity to talk to people, get them to take our survey. But there's always a lot going on, as you know. So, and it's all, you know, we're always able to get new audiences whenever you have something like that, to reach people for the first time who weren't previously aware of the MPO and our role in the process, and how as residents they can become engaged and get their wishes and, you know, priorities expressed to us. Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a question. What about if on page 51, instead of measurements and effectiveness, feedback and evaluation, you made a pledge to create a means of assessment, because you really haven't quite figured out how to track or count the number of hits and what the public opinion is of the websites or the different avenues for information gathering.
That actually, the intent of that
was thinking of how
what was not so much for public feedback, although we certainly want that any time. That was more for us to look at those charts in the back and say, okay, here we said on meetings that we were going to have all these committee meetings. Did we do it? We said we were going to do public presentations. How many of those did we do? How many people did we reach? Those, you know, each of those categories in the back of the existing document that lists, you know, the website, social media, what progress did we make? Have we got a new social media site? We said we were going to do that. And in fact, in the past 4 years since we did that, or five, since this document was originated. We do have two very active social media sites, one for well over a year, maybe a year and a half, the other for probably about 8 months. So we're working on, and actually we have Google Plus as well, so, and we're working on LinkedIn. So, you know, those kind of things, we've got strategies, and then we can look at any point in time and say, here's what we've accomplished, ooh, we're falling short, we haven't done as much as we maybe need to on another category. But that's really for us, for accountability, that these are the things we said we were going to do, and this is what we've accomplished in those regards.
Can I just chime in, I guess, on page 51, if we included a statement to say, we're gonna create a process to actually process feedback, not just collect it, but explain how we're going to take that feedback, what we're going to do with it, and just include that on page 51. So it's clear we're not there yet, but we're going to create something. And the next time, it'll be included in the document.
Okay. I think that would be helpful. Yeah. What I'm interested in is when I look at it, it looks like a public outreach plan. Right. And the word is involvement.
It's involvement.
So the question
of
whether involvement or outreach.
We need to take in your feedback, but not just take it in,
understand.
But actually process it and understand it and incorporate it into our work.
And in fact, if it does affect your work,
yes.
Let people know about it.
Okay. And
because
results.
If you, that
results
will give people,
feedback.
I mean,
got
it's
it.
Like our committee. We come here month after month, and we do very little, but when we want to have an impact, we'd like to know if we have an impact.
We have a lot of fun.
That's true.
So do you need a motion?
We have an impact when your comments are always forwarded to the MPO board. It's always reported what the position was of this committee, and so that certainly that does influence the decision makers at the board level when they move that.
All right. Any other comments, or are we ready for a vote? And I need a motion.
A motion. I'll approve that we approve the PIP, which stands for Public Involvement Process, with
plan.
This
plan.
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 Oh, it says process.
That's incorrect. That's what.
Okay. And we need a second.
I'll second.
I have to get one more question.
All right, Marcia.
Okay.
Marcia.
Okay. Related to the section on analytics and involvement or engagement or communication to the public. When you mentioned you hit that submit and you know you automatically get feedback on it, is it possible like maybe the CAC part of, you know, maybe we could have a link in a comment box, and so anything that's up there, if they want to just send a comment, then at least we would know it, and it could just be available to us at the meeting. I mean, just as a way, just to see if people actually read it and do comment, just as on an ongoing basis.
In other words, you would like to have a reporting at each of these meetings as the public involvement or the public feedback that we received throughout the past month or since the last meeting?
Well, I'm not sure people would actually.
On the documents.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea, have citizens respond. So, and then it goes to this committee, so we know what citizens are saying.
Citizen, yeah, it's like you're putting up, like it says you're gonna put the announcements on the website. So you
right.
don't know if anybody saw it, if they care.
A comment section on your website where people could.
Just a little comment, no, but that refers to the CAC.
Right.
So that basically any other citizen besides us that wants to comment, as they see this is like, what does this mean? You know, that might be all that they want to know. But at least to just to begin some type of dialogue.
Well,
we're not asking you to report on it, but just to have it available.
That we could go to.
Well,
we could go and see what the other comment people.
So people who can't come here or choose to not come could put some thoughts on,
sure.
on the
and then we could
internet.
Represent.
And then
essence.
Hopefully it would be a forerunner to something we're going to consider instead of
right.
after
yeah.
comments when things have already been discussed.
Well, the online comment form is something that's used specifically when we're in a formal public comment period, asking for comments on a document, and then whatever documents are gathered are made part of the record of that document, whether it's UPWP, LRTP, and so forth. If you're asking us when we get those, which is rare, to forward those to the entire committee, we certainly can. But what we do have all the time is, and currently it's on the right side of the website page, which is under redesign, but where you can email at any time. Anyone can send us an email. It's info@palmbeachmpo.org. So that's where people on a regular basis send a question or whatever. And then that question, as whatever the comment or question, is forwarded to the appropriate staff member to respond.
Okay.
Well, that, if it's coming from the universe of citizens, that would be information that would be helpful for us, since we're supposed to be representing the whole universe of the citizens, right?
Yeah, so certainly what we could do is to start keeping a log that these are the comments that we got on, and you can just kind of see what's coming in from the public on what topics. I think that's easy enough for us to log in and forward to you all.
And particularly if we're being asked to approve a document that's been out for public comment, it would be really nice to know what the comments were made about it.
Good point, Larry.
Up to the point in which, at least up to the time in which we have our meeting.
I also think that
if there's an annual, if there's an annual summary of all these activities, it doesn't say who reviews that summary.
Should be
annual summary,
review,
and check. By us and by the board.
I don't know. Just don't miss part of
the technology. I have that.
I'm sure you're good with this noodle and see what you come up with. Because what you come up with is probably going to be better than something.
Madam Chair, can we call the question?
Yes, I think that's a great idea. We had a first and we had a second by Marcia. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Now we need a motion to recommend approval of amendments to the fiscal year 2015.
So moved.
Second.
You want to make a presentation?
That was easy.
Yeah.
The motion and Marcia second.
Do you want discussion?
Do we need to see?
Do we have discussion, or should we keep this runaway train?
No, you need to have a motion. According to Robert's Rules of Order, you're supposed to have a motion to approve something. It's in order to have a discussion.
Yes.
We've motioned a second, and is there a discussion besides the discussion of? Anybody have?
Are we going to have the presentation as part of the discussion? Was my question.
Would we like to have a presentation?
Sure.
I think
I thought you guys wanted to see the presentation first. But okay.
This is one project, right?
Yes.
Is
Australian spelled correctly?
So we're processing Amendment 3, which is to State Road 710. So the map is very tiny, but it is between, it's west of Australian Avenue to Old Dixie. And basically this amendment came about because you have to have an amendment if there's a 20% change in private cost or if it's over $2 million, correct?
Yeah.
So I think earlier an FDOT gentleman, the project manager, presented, and really one of the thing that changes project cost was right away and utilities that they had to relocate. So basically this is what we received from the state with the track changes basically. And I think it changed the total project cost by $3 million. So
how far in distance is that?
This is 0.819 miles.
Can you believe that? It's total cost of what?
Well, total project cost is down here, this bottom line.
This project is going on forever.
Yeah, and this is outdated. This doesn't get captured, but this is the change.
I wonder what hell would break.
And then the prior cost.
But just this section of the project, what's the cost of that change or amendment?
Well, the amendment's $3 million, $2.5 million.
Right.
The total cost for this
section. So I'm trying to emphasize.
It's $30 million.
When people talk about paving and rights of way and utilities, the enormous cost of just 100 yards. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Well, in this lane, this is going from 2 to 4 lanes divided. I mean, you know,
yeah.
So there is some substance to it, but.
Who's buying big houses to build this corridor? I mean, this is a big deal.
It's a big
yeah.
This is a big deal.
You have questions? Shall I call the question?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Now, it's the information items. The draft of the FY16-20 VIP. Has everybody had an opportunity to take a look at it? Every page.
I looked the 6 pages.
That's a no.
All right.
Okay. Do you have a presentation on this?
No, we have it. All right. My brief presentation to you is, I've suggested in the past that a good way to think of your role as reviewers is to first proactively look at the MPO's priority project list, which and how they're being funded, how they're being advanced in the TIP, which we summarize for you in tables 1 and 2 of the executive summary. Table 1 talks about the MPO's major projects, and table 2 talks about the MPO's local initiatives priorities. And what we've tried to do in these tables this year, which is a little more information than you're used to, and that explains the smaller font size, so forgive me, we're trying to pack a little bit more into a smaller hole, yeah, smaller bag. But what we've done is we've shown you an estimate of the total cost for each project, the funding allocated to the project in previous years, in the current 5 years addressed by the TIP, and then what additional funding is needed in order to complete the project. I'm trying to highlight that these are expensive projects and they happen over time, and that there's a outstanding need so that as funding becomes available, we can chip away at that. That's the proactive part. We also talk about a reactive review. It's one more opportunity to look at the fiscal year 16 construction projects, because the lines that are in fiscal year 16 in the TIP are projects that you'll see at the MPO for the last time. At that point, we're sort of sending them out of the harbor and saying, go forth, DOT, and build these things. So it's your last chance to ask any questions or raise any comments that you may have on those projects. And then the overview review is, what we're trying to do is highlight any significant changes between last year's document and this one. And that's supposed to be table 4, 5, and 6. And I have to apologize to you that information was late at time of press and will be provided to you when we're asking you for a motion next month. But we didn't have an opportunity to assemble it completely in this document. So that's forthcoming.
So we should go back and take a good hard look at tables 1 and 2, 3, wait for 4, 5, and 6.
1, 2, and 3, I mean, what we're trying to do in the summary is give you a snapshot of stuff that is important to you.
Okay.
And one of the questions we have is if there's ever something that you would like to see us summarize or repackage to make this a more understandable document, we can add that to the summary, because we understand it's 120 pages. There are projects that matter, and there are other projects that have to be in there that make it a very cluttered and difficult to read document. Based on the funding levels of the document right now, it's a $1.9 billion investment over 5 years in transportation facilities and services. It's a lot to absorb. We get that. So whatever we can do to help you digest what's most important to this committee, let us know and we'll try to make that.
This looks like good service business.
Good.
Yeah, I like this tabular form of the executive summary. It's very helpful.
Good.
Particularly adding the right-hand column with them.
How much you still need.
How much you still need.
Yeah.
And then color.
Yeah.
I understand red.
Yeah. Yeah, we need more money. That's
it's funny to me because I love this, and it's just like, I like it because I enjoy it because you just sort of see everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And everybody in town knew all this was going, you know, how much work's involved. They have no idea. They just see the, go on. So to me, it's neat to go through this and all this stuff is going on. It's a lot going on. It really is. So it's exciting.
Good.
And the next time you guys see the draft TIP, remember last year we did that presentation map where you could see them actually. I mean, we're going to start working on that really soon once well, really soon, actually, so.
Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially when you know about the project, then you see it start, and you see the barricades start to go up, and then you see the barricades go down, and, you know.
That's
it's
true.
Neat.
Yeah, the Lantana exit going south. How long did it take them?
Nice to have those barrels out of the way, huh?
And the thing used to shake. Remember the...
I'm going to make a facetious remark, which you should not take seriously. That has to add another column as the number of years it's been on the tip.
Actually, that's a good idea. That would end up right in the Palm Beach Post.
Actually, you know, sometimes it would be interesting to analyze some of these projects and how long they've been on the tip. Because I know some of them have been here for 10 years, and they're still on the fifth year of the tip.
Well,
and
it could be a prize for the longest running anticipated.
Well, or a prize for perseverance once it's built.
Yeah.
All
right. Any other comments about this 16 to 20 draft? How about the surface transportation program fund allocation?
Yeah, we'll pull that up, and I'll walk you through this. Where you want this? You walk through it.
All right.
I'll sit back.
So last month, I guess, we came to this board. Was it this board? I can't remember. I was only here like 2 days, the last meeting, so I've only been here a month. So
it was
far.
Like the joint committee.
Well, last week.
So
we
joint
briefly
committee?
Talked about this.
Okay, so
this is your orientation. This is all you get.
Oh, I know. It's like throwing me into the fire. We took this item to the board, and they had asked us to come back with some alternatives. So to refresh your memory, back in September 14, priority list of projects, actually three lists of projects in this document were approved. And then last December, DOT presented their work program, and at that time, the MPO requested more funding for Palmtran and the local initiatives projects. So last month at the MPO board, they asked us to give some alternative scenarios for the SU dollars, which are the dollars that they control for funds proposed in the TIF. So just to refresh, here's the MPO priority projects for the major projects. Again, there's three lists, the major projects, the local initiatives, and then the TAP projects, or the transportation alternative. So this was the major projects list, and as you can see, some of the major projects included State Route 7, Glades Road, some tri-rail facilities, and some Palmtran support facilities, which are the maintenance facilities.
Expansion
of the maintenance facilities. Not familiar with all the projects yet. So some of the local projects included a whole host of smaller scale, less expensive projects. Some of them, you can see on this right hand column, have been fully funded and are either under construction or design. But then the ones highlighted in yellow have yet to be completely funded. So we'll move on to the next slide. And so here are some more. So as we went to the MPO board, there was a decision of what to do with the SU dollars, or the MPO controlled dollars. So they asked us to look at three alternative scenarios. And the first scenario, as you'll remember, there were two projects included in the draft TIF. One was this I-95 at Linden, which is more of a state facility, and Lyons Road, which is a safety project that was submitted by the county. So those two projects were funded with SU dollars, but they did not go through the regular process, this planning process. They were included by DOT using the SU dollars. So the MPO asked us to look at three scenarios. One, if we allocate the SU dollars to the MPO priority list projects, which we just looked at, What would happen to these two projects? Well, in this presentation, it wasn't updated. In this last meeting, we updated this. DOT assembled some information for us that, you know, there would be secondary impacts. So these two projects, we wouldn't be using SU dollars for. These projects would get funded, but then the secondary impacts or the domino effect would be that other projects on our major project list, would some of the phases would have to be shifted out. The second scenario is if we allocate the SU dollars to the MPO priority projects, what would happen, and the Lions Road, which is this one right here, what would happen if we used SU dollars for this? Then that means all these would be funded without these two. And then the last scenario is, of course, if we approve the TIP as submitted, which you have in your packet, funding these two projects, these projects fall out or get shifted to a later time. So these were the three scenarios, and I'm not sure what the domino effect is with this one, but they were very interested in understanding the effect of our own local priority projects under these three scenarios.
So this is a decision that the MPO board is going to make when?
In a week?
No. So the way this is an information item, because we're not asking
right.
you for recommendation, we're not asking the board for a decision. What we're doing is trying to present the scenarios for the SU dollars and the consequences of moving the money. We didn't get as much information from DOT prior to the agenda development as we would have liked. But we got a little bit more information from them this morning, which we were typing in on the slide, down the fly. But we sat down, and Renee and Luke and I talked with them just prior to lunch and got more information about what research they're doing and how these projects would get reshuffled. Basically, the board said, yeah, we like the idea of controlling the SU money, the money allocated to the MPO. We want to direct that to our projects. But we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot by taking ownership of that money. So help us understand what the negative consequences may be. So that's why we're looking into all three of these scenarios. The way it comes before the MPO board is as part of the draft TIP that will be presented to them for adoption in June. We will give them column three. The full document will represent column three. And then we'll give them three extra sheets of paper that say, if you approve the TIP with the changes in column two, this is the impact on individual projects. Take out three pages from the TIP, and we'll put these three pages in instead, and that'll be your adopted TIP. Or if you want to do column one, there'll be four pages, for example. I'm kind of making it up, but we haven't gotten the backup yet. So next month, we will present this to you for a recommendation, and then we'll present it to the board for a final vote. What we're trying to do is illustrate how we're carrying out this conversation.
Very interesting.
It is.
Yeah. Well, this is the kind of information the decision maker should have when they make decisions, because the decisions have consequences.
They do.
and they are a political body.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how they react to how individual board members react when they see if they do this, some project of interest, local project of interest to theirs.
How much lead time will the board get before they see the actual things being deleted? Will they get, and how much, I mean, they'll need a little scramble time, a little assessment time. This won't be something that's just presented as they come in for that June meeting, right?
Our intention over the next week, prior to finalizing the board backup material, is to fill in the bottom row of this table,
mm-hmm.
so they know. And to your point, when we brought this up to them, I mean, the reason we have three columns, when we brought this up to them last month, they said, well, yeah, we want to control the money, but don't hurt my Lions Road project.
Yeah.
We don't care that much about I-95. Let DOT mess with I-95, but don't hurt my Lions Road project. So that made the table go from two columns to three columns, We had to have a scenario that protected Lions Road. But then DOT said, you know what, if you took the money away from Lions Road at 95, we would still fund those. We would take money from other projects to keep those projects whole. And what they said this morning was one of the projects we would defer is the construction of an additional lane on Glades Road between FAU and I-95 westbound. And all of a sudden, Boca Raton put his hand up and said, wait a second, that's not a project to me. I don't want
who's
you to
get the whole world's market. Whose ox is being gored down?
Yeah.
This
so
project right here would be deferred in favor of building this one. So that's how they could shift money.
So, you know, I have.
Do they understand this is coming? I mean, do they?
Yeah, I'm meeting with all the board members separately, and then we're talking about it each meeting. But it's a.
It's very
cool. You know. In my head, long term, we will have a pot of money associated with advancing the I-95 turnpike projects. We'll have a pot of money associated with advancing the projects we put on our major priority list. And we'll have another pot of money associated with advancing the local initiatives. What we're doing right now is we're muddling our way through the transition period where all three of those programs grab money from different sources. And frankly, what happens is the strategic intermodal system grabs money from all three pots and leaves us with less funding left over to advance the projects the MPO boards have identified and the communities that we represent have identified. And so that's why this conversation is a little tense. We're trying to establish a dedicated funding source so that when we plan for good things to happen, we have money to build them. I think that's a good goal for this MPO, but it's going to take us a few years to iron out the hiccups and kind of get through the transition.
How can the strategic intermodal get to pick from each pot?
Frankly, because DOT proposes the allocation. The MPO board has to approve it, but DOT proposes the allocation. And because they are in the back room doing the complicated math and allocating funds with limitations to various projects that need money, mm-hmm. It's hard. Like, I mean, as you saw in that last table, it's hard for us to say we want to move money and understand the dominoes that fall when we make a change.
It's hard to move money without understanding the domino effect.
That's right. It's a double-edged sword, or a catch-22. I don't know what the best expression is, but it's tricky. We're trying to figure out how to do it in collaboration with DOT in a way that implements the board's priorities. But yeah, with the I-95 project, they pulled $6.5 million out of
it. It's a three-dimensional chess problem.
It is. And so
with time being the third dimension.
So we'd love to take the money back, but then they're saying, well, but we're going to take it from somewhere else. So
Nick, we've had an offline an exchange about this particular thing and whether the listing on the right, and therefore the analysis should be up to date with the tip that is about to be approved in terms of when things are being funded and what the extent to which that might change any of the analysis.
This is the one that was approved.
That was last year's.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, some of the things in the right-hand column are not consistent with the tip that's going to be approved in June. And since they're going to be making this decision in June, they're going to be working from the context of a new tip.
Yeah.
And so the question is whether I don't really care about the presentation. The real issue I think is, does the change in the schedules in this tip affect anything in this analysis? Because some of the things have been delayed, and other of these projects might be funded earlier because some things were delayed.
Yeah.
So I would think that they would want to make a decision based on the tip that they are going to adopt. They never change the tip, right? But very rarely.
We have yet to do that. DOT is very nervous that we I'm sorry.
I said, when is best information not the best information? I mean, when is, I mean, our board would make, do a better job?
Well, I was responding to Myron's question. Does the MPO ever adopt a TIF that's different than the one the DOT asks them to adopt? And historically, the answer is no. In this MPO.
Yeah.
In other MPOs, the answer has been yes from time to time. The MPO has said, we're not going to put money on those projects, we're going to put it on these. And they've gone through the same complicated iterations with their local DOT. But we have historically not done that.
It happens. I mean, in some places, it can happen, but it's rare.
Right.
So we would not expect that the board would change this tip. In fact, when I think there was an amendment to the last tip, particularly with respect to State Road 7, it caused a lot of furor, and the MPO wrote a letter saying, we don't want you to change the tip.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
And of course, FDOT didn't change the tip. And that's the one, the top right hand thing. So they're not going to fund that in FY 16. It's in 20.
Yeah.
So that money, I don't know, it's $45 million or $50 million, and maybe that money is, instead of, I know you have to have the money in reserve or something like that, but $50 million is a lot of money. If it's available to spend in FY 16, there are other projects that you could spend it on.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
but
so
not the presumably.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay. All right, I said my thing.
Now. All right, Renee, thank you. Nice presentation. Interesting.
I think it's a great idea.
Summary points from the April 16, 2015 MPO board meeting. Okay, who's that?
We provide those every month just so that you see what the board actually did on their agenda items. And if you have any questions, we're happy to fill in more.
Administrative items. Any member comments?
Just important consideration every year about vacations. Do you take off August or September, or are we going to have meetings all the way through? You plan to have activity all the way through?
No, we don't have a committee meeting in August.
Okay.
So we do have meetings in June. In the first week of June and the first week of July for this committee.
No August.
No August meeting. Then we meet again in September and October. No November. And we meet again in December.
So
we do meet
August
in December.
We do. Yeah.
August or November at no meetings.
Yeah.
The full schedule's on the website.
See how important that is?
And in our package.
It is. I'm still starting from the light.
I have just
you
a related
to
comment.
All right, Marcia.
Just for those of you that have trouble hearing, there's a free hearing screening next Wednesday.
You
looking
at
me?
Anyway, from 10 to 12. So if you're interested, it's going to be at the Coalition for Independent Living Options. Sponsored by Deaf and Hearing Resources, 6800 Forest Boulevard. So,
all right, thank
just
you
FYI.
Thank you for that. Next meeting is June 3. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
And second, is there a